confluence of technology and personality resides a select group of individuals. Those individuals are known as technologists, and they put their thoughts on the line for you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to another episode of On the Line with Cohesity. This is a very special two-part episode in which, in the first part, myself and Teresa, along with a couple of special guests, discussed some of the issues that we faced when the pandemic hit, when it came to our mental health state and how we adjusted to just getting by in some particular cases. So we'll start off again, though, for those who haven't seen, or I should say not seen, but have listened to part one. My name is John Hildebrand. I'm a principal technologist here at Cohesity, and joining me today are three guests, including my manager, sitting to my immediately right here. I like to always refer to myself as her minion at this particular point. So go ahead and we can get the introductions out of the way.
So my name's Teresa Miller, and I am the Director of Technology Advocacy at Cohesity. And we have a couple of special guests, as John alluded to. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you already started with the minion, so I guess that's not a bad introduction for myself. So my name's Esther Bartel, and I've used the minions in a lot of my community presentations and presents. So happy to be on part two as well to share some of my experiences with the pandemic.
Esther was a minion at Citrix Synergy. You dressed up as one for our Geek Speak, our Geek Out.
Yeah, correct. And
it was
about
awesome.
A month ago, I shared that story again with the Dutch Women in Tech community. And I tried to look up the video, but it's mysteriously gone.
Yeah, sure.
I couldn't trace it back.
Well, so it was a wonderful moment, even if you can't find the video.
Yeah, I'm Ruben. I'm a technologist at Nutanix, active in the end-user computing space for a while, and passionate about end-user computing. I also remember not talking about Minion specifically, but like the Fantastic Four, the session we did at Synergy
five
years ago with Aaron Parker and Steve.
Weaver. That was fun. We had our Fantastic Four t-shirts and the whole presentation was themed.
Nice themes, exactly.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It was.
Well, we'll get back to our topic at hand, which now we're going to transition more into what we've done to try to rectify some of these issues that we've gotten ourselves into. So as I mentioned in the first part of this podcast, coming into the pandemic, I had basically been diagnosed with clinical depression. So I picked the wrong time to exhibit family history symptoms right before a global pandemic where at the moment where I needed to be around people, I couldn't be around people. So for myself, what has definitely helped is, well, modern medicine has helped dramatically. I've been able to get on a good set of medications, and it's helped drastically, especially within the last few months. When I was at my worst, my psychiatrist had prescribed me some new particular medications, and boy, did they work, and they worked drastically. Things have been almost an overnight improvement in demeanor and ability to just be comfortable with the idea that I'm going to be at home quite a bit and waiting for the pandemic to finish up and for events to come back again, which, you know, based off the schedule that I have coming up, it sounds like we're going to be busy with in-person events again, and not with this event withstanding at the same time, but, you know, my midsummer is going to be pretty busy, especially for someone who doesn't like Las Vegas. I'm going to be in Las Vegas a couple of times, and I'm actually looking forward to it for that one. So,
but that's always with Las Vegas. It's always great to have an outlook to go to Las Vegas, and then in Las Vegas, it's great to be in Vegas. And then after 2 days, it's great to go back home. That's my experience with Vegas. Okay. Yeah. 3 times fun in Vegas.
Yeah. I love the optimism you have. At least going into it, you're looking forward to it. I'm not sure I share that sentiment.
What I'm trying to tell myself is you will get sick of Vegas, just don't get sick in Vegas.
There you go.
So,
yeah, that makes sense.
So basically, modern medicine has helped me out dramatically to try to get over my symptoms. And it's helped now that we've been able to get out and about and just to see people again, even though it's been in smaller groups from the 30,000, 40,000 person conferences that we're used to going to in some capacity. So yeah, that's what's helped me from basically being at my particular worst.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
If you ask, like, what is sort of a Ruben's list to sort things out? Like, I'm a really practical guy, like hands-on, feet on the ground. So what helped me is a couple of things. Exercise, much more. That sounds easy, but well, in Netherlands, we had like full lockdown. So everything was closed, including gyms.
Yes.
And normally I would like to go to the gym 3 times a week. I would say bought, but we got a dog. So walk outside with my wife. Kids are a little bit older, so that's another great opportunity when the kids are older to go outside with your wife and walk the dog and have good conversations. That helps. Also structure. I would say well organized in general. So structure, okay, I'll block lunch meeting or a block like family time in my agenda, otherwise my agenda will just fill up. That helps. So structure, create structure. My like working hours, quote unquote working hours, are a little bit shifted. I start in the morning with gym, and then later in the evening, sometimes until 10 or 9:30, I just keep on going. So block time in the schedule is what helps me in staying focused and I would say positive or motivated or energized. Because there was, as I mentioned in the first episode, like my challenge was sometimes like just a dip or a couple of days of in energy level and motivation. Not that it impacted business, I don't think so, but it impacted family and my kids. They noticed and they also asked questions. And in the beginning, I wasn't able to answer because I didn't know. And yeah, first time I did feel like that. But after a while, hey, this is not normal. Let's figure out what's happening. And yeah, the things I shared earlier are really practical things. And I didn't need medicine or these type of items. Luckily, not sure if luckily is the right word, but it was easier to solve. And over time, by now, I'm in a happy place. And especially with travel again.
Yeah.
This is the first time in like 2 years to travel from a business perspective. So yeah, really great to be back. Although I would say I won't go back as crazy as it was before COVID. I remember fly KLM a lot, and after probably month 5, KLM handed over like the platinum frequent flyer like badge, called a badge to me. He said, "Well, congrats, Mr. Ruben." I said, "Well, I'm not so sure if this is great." And then she looked at me like, "Yeah, I get your point. You're right." So I hope and also anticipate I won't go back into that crazy travel mode as I did before. I like travel, but also like work from home, and that finding the right balance, which sounds simple, is not always that simple. But finding that balance is what I also learned in COVID. Yeah? Finding the balance, more balance, like travel, not at home. And appreciate being home.
It's interesting you say that. I've talked to many people who like they're either like I'm never traveling again, or they're seeking similar to you, where there's just better balance because we've grown this appreciation for being with our families a little bit more.
Also from an environmental perspective, I think it's important to have more focus on that element as well. And travel and flying also has impact on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For me, it was more a struggle, but I think that's also due to the fact that I'm a freelancer. So right. It's not like I had like regular conversations with a manager that checks in on how you're doing. So I ended up very quickly, thanks to some medical advice, to start having conversations with a coach. And he made me realize that I don't have a normal tendency due to some survival mechanisms or patterns in the past to ask people for help or to reach out. I just always try to solve it by myself, because that was a very important thing in the past when I had a moment where I asked for help and didn't get it and felt like the counter effect. So I had like this extra motivation to prove the world that I could handle things on my own. But that's not functional in work, especially as a freelancer when you're trying to collaborate in teams. And even with the whole going virtual movement with the pandemic, it became even more important to communicate and to let people know if you were struggling, because it's not visible anymore, because you can just shut off and just, even turning off the camera to just to feel more safe and hide in that virtual world, so to speak. So talking to a coach definitely helped me. I guess that's one of the things that also
was it tough to step out of that zone and ask help for a coach?
Well, in my case, due to high blood pressure, I am already on a half year cycle checkup with my doctor. And I am talking to a dietist for over 2 years. And those of you, I'm happy this is a podcast, so you can see it. But that's still a struggle. So I did mention with the last checkup with my doctor that I probably needed a dietist that was less friendly and would kick me in the butt a bit more. And that triggered her in advising this coach. Definitely, after just two conversations, he already had me like crying and kicked me in the butt. So I guess that's my salvation. I didn't have to ask for help. It was offered.
Yeah,
and I decided to not be stubborn and decline, but accept that offer. And that really has been, I'm not going to say a life saver, but it definitely helped me to be able to have conversations with others about the whole situation, about how I'm feeling, where I'm coming from, what I'm struggling with. I'm going to be very proud with the next conversation that I'm going to have with my coach and share how I opened up, shared my own insecurities, and got so much positive feedback that definitely helps in re-entering the whole community and feeling good about socializing again.
Nice. Yeah,
that's awesome. You're right. So in terms of my scenario, it was family, right, with the kids and trying to figure out how to get them to manage their schoolwork virtually, even though they're young adults, it just was hard. So it was constant conversation, right, and talking about ownership. And even at one point, I know I got in there and read the same book as my daughter needed a little extra help. The teacher was willing to share a book with me. Her and I would, you know, read a chapter separately, and then we would come together and talk about the chapter just to make sure that the comprehension was there and that she was grasping what she needed to be successful. So, you know, I think as parents, we'll do anything for our children, and, you know, I'll go as deep as I need to and help out as much as I can. And thankfully now we're way on the other side. So with my daughter, I would say about 3 months ago, she is where we really saw the shift. Like, I think she's got it on her own. They've been back in school in person since fall, but there were bad habits that were learned too that had to be broken, because when you're behind a screen, I think, like, you know, you hide. It's easy to I don't know what the right word is. You're not engaged, so you don't do the work to the same level that would be expected as if you were in person. And so that's really what, you know, getting the kids back in person was for her from fall till now, was getting that right level of effort and engagement back in place to be successful. So we're there, and then of course our son, he's graduated, and being the hands-on guy that he is, he actually is moving into the trades. So
that's,
you know,
awesome.
Things are working itself out. But
did you feel like you had enough time and space and understanding from Cohesity in this case that allowed you to put in that extra effort for your children?
So I think that's, you know, that's really one of the great things about where John and I work. So I think there's a lot of flexibility to the workday. There was a lot of open conversation too, I think, especially in the beginning of the pandemic, like mm-hmm. you do what you need to do, right?
Family first.
Exactly. Yeah. Fast forward to, let's say, the past year, organizationally, there are company-wide refresh days throughout the calendar year, as well as we actually both fall into the marketing umbrella, and our marketing team does the same thing. So, you know, I think 2 months in a row now, we've ended up with a company-wide and a marketing. So like you get a 4-day weekend out of it. And so, and I think our team is also just, if I look at like our little bubble of a team, the technology advocacy group, I mean, we've always, when we need time, we take it. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as the work's getting done, we're, you know, you do what you need to do. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
For me, that's normal.
Right.
But,
yeah, I'm still struggling with that, but I think that's because I'm a freelancer. So for me, or maybe it's one of those limited convictions that I've been raised up with, that the customer pays a lot of money on an hourly basis to get my best performance, or at least that's how I perceive that. So it took me a long time to realize that putting myself first every now and then means that the customer does get the best version of me, where in the past I just had to struggle with always putting the customer first and then forgetting, like, doing your exercises. So I would plan to have my spinning bike finally dusted off and just do some exercises on it, and then there would be a meeting schedule coming in, and I didn't have the nerves to just cancel it and say that I had
to say that you had another commitment.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's sometimes challenging as well. But on the other side, if you have a lot of flexibility in your work, that's still okay. Like what I mentioned earlier, like I go to gym, do the gym 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And normally it's Wednesday, boxing. And once in a while it doesn't fit, well, then I'll find something else. That's the flexibility I also, like, that's my flexibility, but also what I expect from, like, the company itself. And that's hand in hand, and it works out well. Like, modern company, in my opinion, is operating like we discussed.
Yeah.
And if it's not like that, then I'm not a fit for that. And that's fine, but yeah, that's normal for me.
Yeah, and I also learned to relieve stress on the prioritizing, to just shift it to my first thing in the morning to do, because that half an hour extra sleep is not going to make a difference during the day from an energy perspective. But being able to do that half hour of spinning definitely changes how you start your day. So yeah, I just shifted it.
When you mentioned start your day, also what I, as a practical thing, I write down my weekly goals. I have a huge glass board behind me, not here, but like at home.
Yeah.
And I write down, okay, these are the weekly goals, and these are like my 1 or 2 daily goals.
Nice.
And it also helps just to focus and
Awesome. Yep. Well, you've both had some really great tips. John, do you have any tips that you could share with the listeners today?
Well, I would say that when our team shifted to
our model that we've got right now, where we operate kind of in a sprint model, agile sprint model, that it's helped in trying to prioritize a lot of the work that we do. So instead of the whole moniker where everything's a priority one and trying to manage 5-6 different balls in the air at the same time, being able to actually put the things in the right order, or as you alluded to, the goals that you needed to get done for the particular week, it helped to align those a little bit better. And I find myself, you know, when I have my laptop open, there are always three tabs that are open. Jira's open for that list of stuff that I need to get done. Email's open to remind me that occasionally I do have to respond to an email. And then of course the calendar's open so that it can notify me when I have to be on, I have to be on a meeting. But those are the three that I keep on there. I don't necessarily have a glass board or a whiteboard to write the goals down, but I've got the constant reminder in a tab in my browser to let me know that there's always something that needs to be worked on. Or again, there's something that if I need to shift something around so that I can make a half hour for myself or an hour for myself, I can do those sorts of things.
Awesome. So as I kind of just reflect on what we talked about today, I think it's, I think one big theme here was that we need to put ourselves first, look out for others, and it's okay to ask for help, whatever the format is. And so I hope that our listeners today can apply those things to whatever it is they're working through. So with that, let's go ahead and close things out. And that wraps up another episode of On the Line with Cohesity.
Yeah, make sure to check out and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And keep an eye out for upcoming other episodes, especially now that we've got the capability of seeing people again. Yay! And we can do these things not necessarily from the comforts of home, but in person like we're doing right now. So thanks again for listening, and keep an eye out for the next episode.